Welcome to Youth Ministry Unscripted, the Rooted Youth Ministry Podcast, where we talk real, honest, and raw about gospel-centered youth ministry. I'm one of your co-hosts, Josh Hussung, and I'm so excited to have a place where we can talk real, honest, and raw about gospel-centered youth ministry. And I'm joined today with Danny Kwan and Isaiah Marshall. Say hi, guys.
Praise the Lord, family. How you doing?
Hello, everyone.
Yeah, it's great to be back for another episode. And last time we talked about teaching, which was super helpful. That's always a challenge. But another part really important part of youth ministry is connecting with students relationally. We're not just standing up there teaching. Hopefully you're not just standing up there teaching, or you're not doing a great job if that's the only thing you're doing, right? It's both. And I would say, you know, often there are people who fall on sort of one side of the spectrum. There are some people that are really into the teaching, and maybe the relational connection is a little bit of a challenge for them. And then sometimes there are people who are really great at the connection side of it, but the teaching part is a challenge for them. And, it's a little bit, there's less people that maybe fit both of those categories. Right. Great. So my first question is, which one are you? Where do you feel like you kind of fell on that spectrum of things? Or are you the perfect combination of both?
Well, you know, I think I fall more on the, I kind of like the teaching side. You know, I kind of thrive more on the teaching side, where the relational side was a little bit more challenging.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah. I've gotten old in youth ministry. I started when I was 22 and now I'm 53. But I've always embraced the young life. I stole this from Young Life and I quote it all the time. The idea of earn the right to be heard. And, but now that I'm older, teenagers just see me as like an old man. And, but I still believe in the relational aspect of ministry that you have to build that connection.
Yeah.
To do other stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say I'm probably the same. I think the teaching part, you know, I kind of grew up in, I was on like speech and debate team and stuff, and I was in theater stuff when I was a kid. So like the being in front of people, I've always been very comfortable with. The being able to articulate something, I'm typically good at that. But I'm not maybe the most extroverted person. And I think my students like me and everything, but like, just that kind of stepping into the circle and trying to make the conversation, that's always been a little bit of a challenge. So first question for you, I guess, would be, what is the hardest thing for you about connecting with students? I know that's a really broad question, and I made it broad so that we could go wherever it takes you thought-wise. What's the hardest thing for you?
I mean, I can speak to just growing older now, and if you're an older volunteer or a older youth pastor, you know, it's just harder to connect with kids because they just see you as older. It's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. It's just, I always joke around that people, like some youth workers come and visit our ministry to learn about what we're doing. And one youth pastor said, "You're not a youth pastor anymore. You're like a principal." And I actually liked it, but it was true. I'm not like a day-to-day teacher in the classroom, mm-hmm, with the students, but a little bit more administrative. I always do joke around that students still come to me when they get in trouble or when they need a recommendation. But just, you know, my role has changed. I am an extrovert. I like engaging with students. I still like going to the, high school swim meets and volleyball games and plays, but I don't know if students like me being there anymore. But so it's been harder to connect. But then, as an older youth worker, you find younger people that kind of can take that role, and you're comfortable being more of a administrator and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think just like you, Josh, I'm more introverted, and I think I have to get out of my comfort zone often, being around young people and becoming something that I'm not naturally, where I have to just kind of be a little extroverted when I'm amongst the young people. And yep. And I think that for me, you know, one is exhausting in a lot of ways. And I know for as an introvert, and I don't know, you know, this you all can relate to this, but like I struggle with small talk. There's a lot of small talk that has to happen with young people because you have to gain that trust, as you mentioned, Danny. And so a lot of that is like just talking to them, you know, a lot of small talk and not, you know, just coming to them with the heavy stuff all the time. So,
Yeah. You know, this was actually a later topic of discussion, Danny, but you brought it up. So I'll go ahead and say, I think that the way that I relate to students has changed from when I started at my church. When I started at my church, I was 26. And so I think that there were several things about me. So first of all, like I'm a people pleaser. So there was a lot of time in my mind and heart spent thinking, do they like me? Do they think I'm cool? That kind of thing. And honestly, like now that I'm old enough to be everybody's dad, like I could literally be any of their father. So the self-consciousness is basically gone. Like, I'm just like, you know, I can say something stupid. I can like misuse the word skibbity, you know, on purpose. And they're just going to like roll their eyes at me like they would their own dad. And I don't spend any energy thinking at all about whether they think I'm cool, because I know without a shadow of a doubt that they do not. And that's okay. And so I think as you grow, with them, you know, they get to know you, they appreciate you, and you don't have to be quite as hung up on, do I have to, you know all the right things. My question for you though would be, let's say you've got a student or a group of students that you are trying to get to know. Do you have like a way that you like, do you have a go-to method for like that kind of initial connection with students? Like, what do you do? What do you talk about? What do you do? Do you invite them to something? Do you go to something? Do you just strike up a conversation? Do you think about kinds of topics you would talk about? What's your kind of go-to method for that?
I think for me, it's different. It's different depending on the student. So a lot of times I try to identify things that the students enjoy or are involved in outside of like you know, our youth ministry. And so I try to, that's one way that I kind of lean in. There's like students that I don't really know what they're involved in and all that. You know, a lot of times the question that I ask, and this might, you know, it might come off as like the, you know, small talk, or it might come off as a deep question, but I just simply, I come to them and ask like, hey, what's bringing you joy? You know what I mean? Hey, how you doing? So-and-so, you know, what's bringing you joy right now? You know, it just kind of spark up some discussion amongst that. And then it allows me to understand like the things that they enjoy doing.
That's great.
Yeah. I mean, for me, first of all, I know not every listener here is a full-time youth pastor like the three of us were or are. So there's advantages of time. But even part-time youth workers, I encourage them maybe once a month. I'm getting to my point here is I still like to take students out for a meal, you know. I mean, again, it costs money if your church can budget for it or something, or but I still like hanging out over, you know, breakfast on a Saturday or, you know, not super expensive, but, you know, you could find some inexpensive alternatives and just hanging out. And it's not foolproof, but I think it sitting with food and talking to students, hey, what do you like to eat?
Yeah.
You know, what are your interests? I just still find that really helpful to get to know students on a relational level.
Yeah, that's great. I think for me, I think of it like sort. I think this was, I got this idea in an evangelism class in seminary, but I think about it sort of like concentric circles, and they're sort of like what you would think of as like surface level issues, and then you just kind of make your way in. And so, if I have just met a student for the first time, then it's going to be, hey, you know, who do you know here? How did you wind up at the, like, if it's a brand new student, it's a visitor, I'm saying, how did you wind up here? Who did you know? Who do you know? Oh, so you guys go to school together. What grade are you in? Oh, okay. Are you involved in anything at that school? oh, you play football. Oh, da 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 da. And then you just kind of figure out, kind of like what Isaiah said, like you're going to find something.
Yeah.
Like if the kid is a gamer, once you hit, they like to play, you know, Fortnite or Minecraft or, you know, whatever the game, Call of Duty or whatever it is. Like whatever they love, like you can usually get them talking about it. And you don't really have to know about it to ask questions about it, right? You're just like, oh, tell me about that. I've never played Call of Duty before. I kind of know that it's like a wartime game or whatever. What do you do? Do you play with your friends? And you just kind of do that. And I think the nice thing is, like, especially for middle schoolers, if you just show interest, then you win. Like that's one of the things I love about middle schoolers is like there's not as much self-consciousness. There's not as much. Not all high schoolers are judgmental, but there's just not as much thought around why are you asking me this question. It's more just like, oh my gosh, they're paying attention to me, you know, and that's really all you have to do. So if you can find something to get them talking and you find something that, you know, just like you said, Isaiah, what's bringing you joy? If you can find that thing that brings them joy, you're going to get them talking, you're going to get to know them, and you're going to have something to follow up on. And I think that's a big part for me is the follow up.
Yeah.
So like learn a kid's name. And then the next time you see them, remember their name, and then follow up and ask about whatever that thing was that you connected about the time before. And then that's kind of laying some groundwork that lets you eventually dig in a little bit deeper to the next circle. And things like family life, things like friendships, that kind of stuff, success, future, those kinds of things are just a little bit more intimate and give you a little bit more relational, you know, risk. That they're giving to you, and that allows you to get even deeper from there. You can ask things about the faith as well.
Do you know where you're called? Shortly after his conversion, Adoniram Judson discerned his call to international missions alongside several of his classmates at seminary. At Judson College, we want you too to discern your calling and prepare for a lifetime of disciple-making in a vibrant Christian community. At Judson College, it is our mission to equip students to give their lives for the cause of Christ in the church, among the nations, and in every aspect of society. Through the courses, relationships, and culture you experience here at Judson, you will be well-equipped to serve Jesus wherever he calls you, in whatever context or career. To learn more about our variety of degrees, world-class faculty, and enduring mission to equip students as ambassadors for Christ, visit judsoncollege.edu.
What do you do with a student that just like you do not click with at all? So the thing that that brings them joy, like you know nothing and really, frankly, care nothing about. What do you do with that kind of student?
Yeah.
Oh man, that's a great question. Sometimes you gotta act like you enjoy. You know what I mean? Whatever they,
you just
fake it till you make it. I guess I don't know. But some students is just harder to connect with. Maybe they have like walls up.
Mm-hmm.
Where they just don't like sharing a lot.
Yep.
But for me, like I just keep asking.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I you know, just kind of, you know, being persistent in like just asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
Asking questions. And oftentimes I would love, and I think this go back to something you was talking about, Josh, is like, mm-hmm. when you're meeting someone new, I used to love when students would bring like a friend or something,
because
mm-hmm. it would give me an opportunity to not only, you know, get to know this friend, but it also gives me an opportunity to brag and affirm the student that brought the friend. And so in front of their friend, you know what I mean? It's like, oh man, you know, you know, so-and-so, you know, this is an awesome person. What are my mentor, he's like a father figure to me. Often he would often, you know, when we get off the phone or something, he's like, you know, don't mess up my bragging rights. I love bragging on y'all. And so I love bragging on students. And so one of the ways in trying to connect with people who are hard to connect with is just being persistent and asking questions. And so that the follow up, as you mentioned, where I could just start bragging on them in different, you know, just different aspects as they give you little nuggets of things that they enjoy. Mm-hmm. But it's an art. It's an art to it. It's an art of asking questions.
Yep.
How to get things out of them. It's an art of remembering, especially, you know, y'all had larger youth groups. And so, you know, that can be challenging in themselves.
And one thing we did, it was kind of like an informal but formal system was like I trained my volunteers, other volunteers, and student leaders even. Like, if I can't, you know, kind of crack that outer shell of a new student or a student, you know, I would ask a volunteer to, you know, can you go over and talk to them and take them out or something? Or I found really helpful and fruitful was a fellow student. And we had a group of student leaders, and one of their roles was, I always joked around, I say this a lot jokingly, it's really a joke, but I said, you got to be a fake friend for a month. It's a East Coast Philly way of saying, you know, hang out with that new person for a month.
Yep.
Just shatter them when they come to church. Talk with them, be with them until they, you know, when they come, and then they, till they get to back with their pickup ride or whatever. And it was a joke, but, you know, fake friend, but, you know, really, they would be the one to build that relationship with them for their first month of youth group. And I just really found that, you know, doing this system with our student leaders was really, I think a lot of times, even more impactful than what I could do in my relationship building, and really helped kind of foster a lot of, especially the newcomers, to, you know, want to keep on coming out to youth group.
Yeah.
We called it the fake friend system, but it wasn't really fake friend, but, you know, it was kind of my joking way of saying, stick with this newcomer for a month.
Yeah. I think another cool way, especially like for like listeners, is like, we didn't start our like Wednesday nights, like right away going out to it. We had like time of fellowship, and so one of the things that I would try to do, especially for those who are like a little bit more challenging to kind of break those walls, is sometimes, you know, find like playing basketball with them,
yeah,
you know, or maybe you playing ping pong together or foosball, like those you utilizing those as an opportunity to really press in a lot of ways. And so if I'm out there playing basketball and I'm checking them, you know what I mean, and you know, we're just playing something that's fun, I think that often opens the door for, you know, just little discussions.
That's great. I think you guys have both brought something into the conversation that I don't know that I, you know, planned out. I think when I wanted to talk about relational youth ministry, I was more thinking, let's talk about the youth pastor, the youth minister, and the way that they relate directly to students. But you all have brought two elements in here, and that is not just your own relationship with students, but students' relationships with one another, and I was thinking about volunteers, but utilizing volunteers in the midst of that. And so this community relationship aspect. So let's think about that for a minute. What other ways, you've talked a little bit about it, what other ways have you utilized or thought about volunteers in terms of creating a relational environments for students as well as other students? Just anything involving not the youth minister to create relational ministry. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
Well, yeah, utilizing those volunteers, especially if those volunteers lead a small group. So empowering them. So, you know, I mentioned we don't go right into like our meeting, mm-hmm. but also like, hey, you know, it's our sort of opportunity, myself and the volunteers, to go around to every student before we start and just, you know, ask them about themselves, about their day, what's going on in their lives, those different aspects. And then also empowering those volunteers to really invest in the lives of those students that they're serving within those small groups. So if it's a text message, some kind of connection point outside of like Wednesday nights and Sundays, where you're being intentional about reaching and connecting with the young people. And I try to do that myself as well. Some kind of connection point where it's not just within those walls of the church where we're connecting.
Absolutely. But
where community is happening, even, or connection is happening outside of those church walls as well. So,
yeah. I mean, I just, again, I think it's just because, like you, Josh, we become like father figures to our kids and growing old in this. And I want to respect all the listeners who are older in youth ministry. I think it's great, but you know, sometimes connecting is, you know, I still think it's important. Like Isaiah, like I try to texting is great, and try to connect, you know, text kids all the time, just to keep, you know, let them know that I'm caring for them and praying for them. But I just found it, you know, like other people, volunteers, and again, students can, they do better than me. I mean, not about better or worse, but they can connect with others a lot, in, you know, in a lot powerful ways that I can't anymore. Mm-hmm. And also, I know, Josh, you mentioned your three kids are in the youth group. I found that out too. Like to my kids, they were in the youth group. I was always their father. I wasn't their youth pastor.
Right.
And I needed the volunteers and other students to connect with my kids, because I was their father. I think it really made me more appreciative and thankful of what the volunteers and other students do in connecting with relationally with my kids, because I couldn't, they don't see me, my own kids didn't see me as their youth pastor. You know, they just saw me as Luke, I am your father.
I think modeling things are important. And so how I engage with those volunteers, I'm texting them to kind of see how to, and so again, it's me modeling something that I'm empowering them and inviting them into, those volunteers. And so how I connect with them, trying to pray for them, I'm showing them, hey, this is how we should do that. And then also what those volunteers are doing in the lives of those young people that they're serving, I think they're modeling how young people should show up in each other's lives as well. So,
yeah, that's great. That's great. I think, you know, I think we can all, and probably everybody listening can identify with the experience where you have said something over and over and over and over again to mm-hmm. a student or a group of students, and then they go to camp or they're in small group one night, and that like young whippersnapper, college age, you know, camp counselor, whatever, they come back from meet with that person and they say, and then he said, and then insert quote that you have said to them 50 million times. And then they said, and it just made so much sense, right? The ability for other people to speak into your own students' lives, whether it's you as a parent or you as a youth minister, is a big deal. It takes a village. And that means like sometimes you need a younger voice in there, and sometimes it doesn't have to be a younger voice. Sometimes it just needs to be a different voice. Yeah. You know, we have small group leaders of all different ages. We have one small group leader who's a grandmother, and she's awesome. And then we have some that are just barely out of high school, and they do a great job too. But I think having those extra voices are super important.
One of the most alarming trends we're seeing in teenagers today is the prevalence of anxiety. If one of your children or a teenager you know is struggling with anxiety, we are thrilled to share a resource to help. Rooted's 2023 book release with PNR Publishing, Anxiety, Finding a Better Story. It's a 31-day devotional for teenagers written by mental health counselor and friend of Rooted, Liz Edrington. As a teenager, Liz felt overwhelmed by anxiety. Now that she's a mental health counselor, she wants to pass on what she's learned. Just understanding what anxiety is makes a big difference. But what makes an even bigger difference is understanding what God has to say about it. With daily scripture readings, breathing exercises, and additional mental health resources, this little book offers comfort and help for teenagers in the midst of their anxiety. We invite them to see how their anxiety fits into God's big story and to learn how Jesus can bring peace.
One other thing, and that would be this, we've talked about the people, and we've talked about volunteers and students and ourselves. Is there anything that you think about in terms of like your calendar or your events that create opportunities that are especially good for relational ministry?
Well, I mean, for me, I like to build in like those events that foster community. So, you know, bowling night or something, you know, it's like something where it, you know, is just opportunities for us to be relational. mm-hmm. in a community amongst each other. So we have our retreats. We have our, you know, big event that we do in the summer, camps and all those things. Mm-hmm. But I also like to sprinkle in different like connection opportunities where we could just go out and do a fun thing. Yep.
Yeah. No, I think that's right on, Isaiah. And Josh, I'm sure you do it too, is that these kind of, you know, events are not just, you know, just mindless fun, you know, but like even going to like Six Flags or amusement park or something like that is really important. And at the same time, like even like retreats and camps, we know how powerful they are, but you know, I tell students and parents, I kind of borrowed this from Redeemer Church in New York, where they would, you know, Tim Keller's old church, mm-hmm. they would say, if you're not a part of a small group, you're not really part of Redeemer. You know, I would tell parents and students, like, if you don't go to a retreat, you're never really fully experienced our youth group.
Yeah.
Or if you don't go to a summer mission trip, because we had a lot of summer mission trips, you know, you never, because again, it was, there was a real relational component to it. And I have not seen one student who went to a retreat that didn't come back and love Jesus and love the youth group more.
Yeah.
And find lifelong friends. And so, you know, but there's always those kids who don't go and you're sad and all, but you know, we try our best to tell the parents and students, unless you go to a retreat, you're never fully going to experience the relationships of what we have at youth group.
Yeah. We've all probably had that, you know, the student, when we have a retreat, that student like, man, I don't really want to come to this, and, you know, and then when they leave, when it's time to leave, they just so full of joy and like,
yeah,
you know, those are, you know, some amazing times.
I think it's a great thing too. You know, we talk about students coming to that, but also like making sure that your small group leaders, as much as possible, are able to come to those kinds of things. Because I think that, you know, the content of what you do, the going away and studying the word, being in prayer and spending more time in worship for a camp or retreat is really important. But also like the relational groundwork that happens in a retreat is almost worth an entire school year of a small group. You know what I mean? Like there's something about the shared experience of like staying in a cabin together, you know, engaging in some fun, crazy activity, you know, staying up late and joking around, like all that stuff, like gets you further ahead with students relationally than a whole semester of just meeting for 1 hour a week. And so when students are able to come, like I always tell new families, if you can get your kid to a retreat, like we have one each semester, it's like the best thing that you can do if you want your kid to get plugged into our youth group and feel like they've got some friends is send them to the first retreat that's available.
Yeah.
And once they do that, then they've got friends. We had that, you know, we just talked about our Disciple Now weekend. Like we have maybe six students who have only started coming since like Christmas break. And several of them came, and they came out of the weekend with some new friends, and they're excited about being in a small group. And so I think creating in your calendar those shared experiences, they don't all have to be spiritual. You said bowling night, just something that creates the ability for people to make connections and shared memories, puts them in a position to be able to be more open about hearing the gospel, and they feel like they're in an environment where they're included, and it's super helpful. Well, guys, that was awesome. What a great conversation about relational ministry. It's such an important element of sharing the gospel with students. So thank you for sharing from your experience and your hearts about that. Real quick question before we end things up, and that is, if your students in your youth ministry were like doing an impression of you, what would their like go-to thing be? Do you have like a catchphrase you're known for? Do they draw pictures of you and you're known for some, you know, facial feature? Is there something that you did that they make fun of? You know, that kind of thing.
Well, they go to for me is often the praise the Lord, you know, that phrase. I mean, yes. And for me, like I love seeing the impressions and all that stuff. Because as you know, I think Josh, you mentioned, it's like, you know, just recognizing that you're not that cool. But it's like, okay, you know what I mean? Yeah, so that phrase is sort of the phrase that's utilized most when impersonating me. So.
It's a good thing to be known for, Isaiah.
I think it is. I think it is too.
Yeah. In my old days, I used to be a lot heavier. And so some listeners might not even know who this is, but a lot of people drew cartoons of me as Fred Flintstone. My body shape, I was a lot heavier when I was younger. And now it's a lot of pictures that, like, I love Isaiah, which you said, kids drawing cartoons of you when you're speaking and stuff like that. And I think because I used to have, not, I don't have as much facial hair as Josh now, but I used to have a big David Crowder beard, and I love when students drew cartoons of depicting me with that beard.
Josh, is it the beard, Josh?
Yeah.
That is, like, if kids draw a picture of me, like, we had one of our small group leaders, I'll show it to you. They made a sticker, like, they made a sticker. So a lot of my kids had, like, that on their water bottles for a while.
Yes.
But then my catchphrases, I had two catchphrases over the years. One was, my first church was in a town called Bolivar, which is in West Tennessee. So a lot of my illustrations would be, like, start with the phrase, back in Bolivar. And so kids would, you know, if I start saying something, then somebody would shout out, back in Bolivar. So that was a long time. And now my catchphrase tends to be, hey, everybody, because I'm typically shouting and trying to get everybody's attention to start something. I just say, hey, everybody. And often they'll shout back, hey, everybody, you know. So that's the impression. Well, guys, thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you're listening, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast and look forward to our next discussion. May we embrace the hope and joy of the gospel and believe that it's true, it's powerful, and transformative. Thanks for listening to Youth Ministry Unscripted, where we talk real, honest, and raw about gospel-centered youth ministry. We'll see you next time.